Welcome to Talking Walking, hosted by Andrew Stuck from Rethinking Cities in London. Talking Walking brings you interviews with people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals, and those of us who have a passion for just taking a walk. In this episode, we talk to urban designer Leon Yates, who is working on transit towns in the Greater Melbourne area. As the author of the City of Melbourne's Walking Strategy, he brings us insights into the city's pedestrian environments and what makes a great Australian street. This recording was made using internet telephony.
My name is Leon Yates. I'm a senior urban designer with the Department of Planning and Community Development for the Victorian Government here in Melbourne, Australia.
What's important about your role is that you're actually involved specifically in aspects of transport as well. Could you tell listeners what that's about?
Yes, one of the Victorian Government's major policies and strategies is to look at what we call transit cities. In other words, in conjunction with the major planning policy for Victoria, which is directed at Metropolitan Melbourne, a directive called Melbourne 2030, which is to consolidate urban expansion and any future growth in and around transit cities in Metropolitan Melbourne. As a result, we've put together a team which consists of officers from the Department of Planning and Community Development, along with the Department of Transport. And under this specific project called Transit Cities, we look at urban design principles for the development and redevelopment of transit cities in Metropolitan Melbourne.
Okay, so what defines a transit city?
Good question. At the moment, or at least the initial definition, is a major town centre. Also a town centre that, which may not be major in its size or strategic location, however, has a number of transport modes at its centre. So that would make for a good town centre in which to coordinate a transit city redevelopment.
And what is the sort of typical size of what will be a transit city?
Well, Melbourne is not a particularly large city. It is Australia's second largest city. Population at present is just under 4 million. And we're probably looking at towns that are probably in the region of 100,000 to 150,000 population.
So these are existing cities or neighbourhoods, and they're not the most densely populated. Would I be right in guessing that would be typically about 5 to 15 people per hectare? What you're going to be trying to do is improve the transport infrastructure in those towns, or you've identified those as towns that already have good transport?
Well, a bit of both. Some have good transport, or potentially good transport connection, and certainly can be improved upon. Others are strategically located outside, or well outside, of Melbourne CBD. So the proposal is to improve the transport connection, which will mean that it'll take the pressure off Melbourne CBD so that people will be travelling to other major towns and centres and not just to Melbourne. So at the moment, it's very a dominant inward direction of travel and therefore development in terms of the pattern of the lifestyle in Melbourne is to actually develop on the fringe and to commute in to the centre. If we can successfully develop the major town centres outside of Melbourne, then those journeys to work from the new urban growth areas would not be so long in duration and therefore relieve the pressure on the existing transport infrastructure.
Okay, so specifically, how does this affect walking?
Specifically, we're hoping that we can actually have more of the population actually choosing to walk. That means as a choice that they would either walk to one of these transport connectors and then continue their journey on public transport. The pattern at the moment is that a lot of people, if they don't actually drive to work, are driving to a transport node, dropping their car off, and then getting on the public transport. And that's putting a lot of pressure on these towns and centres for car parking. And it's really not the park and ride, as certainly envisaged and developed in the UK. It's very much a park actually at the station and travel, get onto a train and travel into the centre of Melbourne. So it's very different to what is effectively the real park and ride, which is actually to drive to the fringe of a town centre and then get the bus or the train into the centre. This is very different. You actually drive into the station, which is located in the centre of one place, and then get on a train to actually make your way into the centre of Melbourne. So a lot of pressure still exists on the transport infrastructure in that fashion. So by walking to the destination or to the bus stop, we're actually talking about alleviating car use to quite a significant percentage.
So really, the idea of the transit towns is to increase the number of people who live within a walking distance of the transport.
If they can actually not need to use the public transport, in other words, they could actually continue their journey and carry out with walking as the entire journey, entire mode of the journey, then that would even be better for us.
For each of these communities, are you trying to develop a checklist of needs or destinations they might need to reach on foot?
Yes, well, at the moment we're doing that in two ways. One is to look at the journey to work, i.e. their need at their destination. And the other way is to literally look at the A to B journey. So we're looking at what would improve the choice to walk. And in connection to that, we're working closely with the walking and cycling strategy team at the Department of Transport.
When you say you're involved with the urban design principles of these transit communities, what does that actually mean?
Literally the design of our street. There's sort of two aspects to that. One is the actual design of the street. So working closely with not only the walking and cycling team, but more importantly with the equivalent of the highways agency here in Victoria, which is an arm called VicRoads, who report directly to the Minister for Roads at the Department of Transport. And that is to look at the design of roads. In other words, to look at how the road could and should be designed with all modes of transport at the forefront of that design. So in other words, it's not to look at purely car transportation, in other words, the volume of traffic, but actually to look at all modes of transport sharing that road space. The other aspect to that is then actually how do you, what's the sort of suite of infrastructure that goes into the streetscape? And that would be your street furniture, light poles, trees, and any other kind of landscape. So there's two aspects to how we are hoping to develop the suite street furniture, but also more importantly the sharing of the road space.
So you're basically just trying to improve the quality of the routes that people might walk. You're also trying to develop better destinations for them to get to within walking distance, one of which is this transit mode, so they can switch transit to move out of the town or remain in the town. I'm sorry, I've rather lost the point. Surely if you're creating good infrastructure in the centre of the town, they're likely just as much to commute to Melbourne as to stay where they are.
Predominantly to take the load off Melbourne CBD and therefore have a more sustainable mode and journey to work. So therefore, the shortest journey would mean that we can actually create much higher densities in the transit cities along with the commercial land use for the towns. So a much more mixed-use approach to town centres in Melbourne, something that is slightly at odds given that Victoria operates on a zoning system very similar to the United States.
Okay, so Victoria itself, Melbourne especially, but Australia as a whole, most urbanised country probably in the world, everyone lives in cities or towns which are predominated by the car. But Melbourne does at least have a reputation of having trams and railways. Are these not used to the full or not being expanded at all?
That's true. Melbourne has arguably, I think, one of the best tram networks in the world. I've got to say, from a personal perspective, and certainly one occupant or Melburnian that's returned after a number of years away, I've noticed that that tram network is actually under considerable pressure. I think some of that is actually due to the fact that the rail infrastructure has not been effectively improved upon for a number of years. And so as the population rises in Melbourne, the pressure on the tram network itself is now becoming very evident. And therefore, I would argue that it's time that the Victorian government actually started significantly putting more funding towards the rail infrastructure and not so much towards road infrastructure.
You previously worked in the London Borough of Lewisham, but then you worked for the City of Melbourne, at which stage you wrote a walking strategy. Perhaps you could tell us a little bit about that.
The walking strategy, which I believe is still in a draft form at the City of Melbourne, was again to examine the actual condition in which the city is structured in order to allow people to walk and to make that choice. The other aspect was to look at how that could be improved, because I must say Melbourne has actually been considered as one of the most walkable cities in the world. It is a relatively easy city to walk around, and the choice to walk is one that has become quite evident in the city, as you see a number of people on Melbourne streets at all times of the day and evening and even into the night. The strategy was really, again, to look at how that could be improved upon. That comes back to second half of the issues that we're looking at for transit cities, which is the streetscape suite of infrastructure that either could impede walking or actually enhance it. And what I mean by that is there is a tendency to place a number of objects within the street and therefore take up space that can then actually become a barrier or an obstacle to walking. So it's looking at also called the principles of inclusive design in order to make access and the choice to walk easier and pleasant one.
Can you give us some examples to illustrate what you mean by obstacles in the streetscape and what's an easy solution would be to change that?
One of Melbourne's successes is actually to design the street for walking, and therefore the footpaths are actually much wider than they used to be. The City of Melbourne also introduced a number of street trees into the street, so therefore the street has a much more not only pleasant aesthetic visually, but there's actually a very nice feeling of walking through the streets of Melbourne in terms of what trees add to the city walking experience. Those trees are designed in such a way that they're not an obstacle to walking, but they're towards the edge. There's actually quite a clear path through and along the footpath. And any sort of additional furniture that is required, such as street bins, light poles, poles that you have street signage on, even bicycle racks, are all designed in such a way that they leave the actual walking route free to actually walk in, and therefore there is no obstruction or obstacle to the pedestrian.
Now, in the walking strategy itself, did you have sort of identify strategic routes that people took from, let's say, the rail station to the central business district, or are those strategic routes already there and it was just a case of enhancing the streetscape on those routes?
Well, what was interesting at the City of Melbourne is that they've actually got funding to set up counters that actually count the number of pedestrians along very strategic routes. So we chose certain routes in which to place the counters. This all came about very much to do with the Commonwealth Games that took place in Melbourne in 2004, I believe it was. And so therefore, the city could quite easily get a snapshot of which routes people were choosing to take. And you could argue from that research and information, what were the attractors and where people were working from. And obviously, stations are a clear indication of where a lot of pedestrians start their journey. The counters throughout the city, and they've increased as the funding increases over the last 4 years, has enabled the city to get a very good snapshot of where the pedestrian is predominant on literally a 24-hour basis.
Using that information, you know which are the most popular routes. You can improve those routes. Are there opportunities within a city to make new routes? It would seem unlikely, really, because a city is so well formed.
I would say that as the city evolves, and cities are constantly evolving, new developments coming up in the city can also have an impact on where these routes either change or requiring added time and effort in order to improve the walking experience throughout Melbourne. And equally to take pressure off some of the streets that have actually become extremely popular and at some times of the day can be quite congested by walkers and pedestrians because they're almost too good.
One of the areas that's certainly popular in Melbourne is outdoor eating, and that creates obstacles for people who are walking, but it obviously increases the interest and delight of what's going on in the city. Does the city have policies that almost contradict each other?
Certainly when I was at the city, worked very closely with the street trading team in order to come up with policies. And effectively, we almost in tandem or certainly supported one another in writing an outdoor eating strategy for the city of Melbourne.
What makes a great Australian street? Could you perhaps suggest a great street in Melbourne or in the surrounding area and tell us a little bit about that street and why you think it's special for walkers?
I would probably say that one of Melbourne's best streets would actually be Collins Street, and that's because it has all of those ingredients that contribute to effectively a wonderful walking experience. In other words, there's a real atmosphere being in the central city of Melbourne, and to walk down the streets of Collins Street is a really enjoyable experience. It has the trees, it has the seating, it has the wide footpaths, it has beautiful buildings that enclose the street, and it also is a street that's not necessarily flat in nature. So although there is a slight incline, it does go up and down, it's actually quite shallow, so it's not a street that makes it difficult to walk.
Is it a pedestrian street?
It does have cars and trams along it, and I think the best streets are the streets that all users get to share. It's important that cars aren't completely locked out of our city. They do have a place. It's just important now that we actually look at how we prioritise the users of the street and particularly the space in which we give over to certain modes of transport. And again, I would argue that it's probably time now that we visited the allocation of space, given the fact that the car and the cost of fuel to power the car is very significant.
Thanks for recommending the best street in Melbourne. Can you recommend us a pleasant walk?
The walk along South Bank, along the Yarra, crossing the Princes Bridge to the north, and then down along a new public space, the edge of Federation Square towards the MCG, is a very, very nice walk. And you can then actually cross back over the river to the south and make your way very pleasantly towards Melbourne's Botanical Garden. It's a walk of diversity. You do come across all of those, a number of transport users. However, it's also a very green walk.
You've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Rethinking Cities. In this episode, you've heard from urban designer Leon Yates. If you have any views on this interview or any walking issues, we would love to hear from you. Please follow the links on the talkingwalking.net website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes at talkingwalking.net. Talking Walking is written, recorded and produced by Andrew Stuck at Rethinking Cities Limited. Our logo artwork was created by Ian Martin of Artvark Graphics, and the music was composed and produced by Simon Sanders.